Today's program is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. For more information, visit MOFAD.org.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Of you to stop by today, Pete.
Well, you know, I figured I'd drop in. You know, the pizza's better here.
Good to see you, Mike Edison, Pete Ciaramba, back on Arts and Seizures. We have many special guests today.
I miss this Durwood Kirby guest host chair.
And we miss your Sputnik-era humor, of which there will be much room for today.
Why is that, Michael?
Because it's the Borscht Belt Bacchanal.
Borscht Belt.
So a rabbi goes into a bar, right?
Right. And what happens?
He's got a frog on his shoulder. And the bartender says, "Where'd you get him?" And the frog says, "Brooklyn, they're everywhere." Come on, Dave, get with it.
Where's the applause? Where the studio audience is asleep.
He's waiting. All right, we're just getting started. And if you think you've heard these jokes before, you have.
So who's our guest today? Who are our fabulous guests?
Dave's going nuts and they're trying to get the correct klezmer soundtrack. We're going back. We're going way back. We're going back to the Borscht Belt, the golden days of the Catskills, with our friend Marissa Scheinfeld and her new book, The Borscht Belt, Revisiting the Remains of America's Jewish Vacation
Hold that
Land.
Up. Hold that up for the people to see, Michael.
Hey, let me tell you, it's no joke. I once saw George Thorogood on the radio. I was in the studio with him and he was holding up the record for the radio audience. That's our future.
That's That's what's coming.
Our future. So burned out.
It looks good, though.
It is a fantastic book. And what this book is, it is really, it's a tour through, I call it a forensic exploration.
Yeah, it's very much like archaeology with a camera, but not tampering things, just finding them as they are.
I mean, there were hundreds of hotels up in the, okay, Dave, you can ease up with the klezmer music. There are like hundreds, literally hundreds of hotels up in the Catskills.
538, supposedly.
We were talking, okay, now we know about Grossinger's.
Do we ever know about Grossinger's?
And the Concord.
The Neville.
The Pines. The Browns.
The Browns, right.
But my favorite, the one you were telling me about, was the Laurels.
Lose your morals at the Laurels.
Do you know about this?
Ooh, no.
this is where...
So it goes.
And so it goes. You know what the three words a Jewish woman never wants to hear while she's making love?
What?
Honey, I'm home.
Mike, you've come prepared, I see. I've come prepared, too. I have...
Oh, we're ready.
I have a can here of Dr. Brown's Celray Tonic.
Yeah, do you have any vodka... Help it find its legs.
That's the thing. Yeah, we should get some vodka for this and make our special mixture.
They say Jews don't drink. Well, here's one that does.
Okay. Actually, speaking of people of Jewish heritage, that was a little below your family didn't go to the Catskills, right?
You know what? We did. I
thought you were a little too classy for that.
You know why Jews don't drink?
Why?
It interferes with our suffering.
Do you know why Hitler didn't drink?
Oh, boy.
Do you know why Hitler didn't drink?
I mean, why didn't Hitler drink?
He was a bad drunk.
You know what's really good for a hangover?
What?
Drinking too much the night before.
Wow.
Wow. So my wife wanted to go on vacation. She said, "Take me someplace I've never been before."
You brought it to the kitchen.
I said, "Try the kitchen."
Yeah, you brought it to the kitchen. Okay.
All right, let's talk about Marissa's book.
It looks great.
Thank you.
It is great.
Who did the photography?
Myself.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not.
It's a book of photography, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I know Pete's just walking in a little bit naked. He hasn't had a chance to enjoy what really is a book that belongs on everyone's coffee table.
How long were you collecting? How long were you up in the Catskills looking for the remains of the glorious summers of
I'd say about
past?
5 or 6 years, but I grew up there. I was born in Brooklyn in 1980. In 1987, my dad moved us up to the mountains.
Where?
Monticello, Cayamicha Lake.
Oh, Cayamicha.
So we lived by the Kutchers and the Concord.
When I was in Brooklyn Tech, the coolest guy in my class, who was like great at picking up girls, he really looked like from the old studio days, the Indian that they'd get. He had like the hair, you know, and he always wore a buckskin jacket. And he would always tell all the girls he was a Native American, and his Native American name was Cayamicha. His real name was Murray Weinlink, but
it is a Native American name.
Well, it took me a while to figure that out, though. Yeah. From Lake Cayamicha.
Mm-hmm. Well, we went to groceries when I was a kid. This was like one of these awful, awful scenes. I can't. Going back is gonna be weeks on my shrink's couch just telling the story on the radio.
Traumatized.
Seriously, we were at Grossinger's. This was soon after my parents got divorced. This was my dad with his new bride, such as she was, and my brothers were little kids. This was probably the very week I discovered how to smoke pot. So I was all ready to go, and I snuck a joint up, and I didn't have a shaving kit because I wasn't shaving yet, but I was definitely on my way to Doper Head Dumb, and they narked me out. My brothers totally dimed me out to, like, my, you know, it was just bad vibes, bad divorce, hated the wife, the father, the thing. The food was awful. There was nothing for me to do there. It was a bunch of squares. I felt completely out of place, you know, shuffleboard, and you were killing me with your description of these ballrooms. It was awful. Like, 500 Jews eating together is a terrible idea.
It's very loud.
It's loud, all right.
Mm-hmm. But then you went to the ballroom, and who was on stage but Sammy Petrillo?
have you ever been in a room with 500 Jews?
I served. I was a dessert chef at the Hotel Sagamore in Lake George. Not quite the Jewish Alps.
No, a little further north.
A little further north in the Adirondacks.
And it's just like a tsunami of people sending things back.
Yes, right. It was banana split night. And then people were sending back their banana splits because we were just doing it like, okay, a scoop of vanilla, a scoop of chocolate, and a scoop, send it out. And it's like, no, I wanted two scoops of chocolate and a scoop of strawberry.
The Jews just had too many options in the Borscht Belt, so it just allowed them to just be like, I don't want this.
I've said this before. I want to bring it back again. You know when you buy chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry ice cream, Napoleon ice cream in like a half-gallon container?
I love it. The Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah, but why is the strawberry in the middle? This has bothered me. The vanilla should be in the middle because it complements the chocolate on one side, the strawberry on the other. I don't want the strawberry next to the chocolate. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, now I can see you've had it rough. You know,
you were one of those people in the Grossinger's dining room complaining.
Oi, oi, oi.
This is a beautiful. I also just want to interject here that our other studio guest is my lovely wife, Marilla. And it's her birthday. She's wearing a birthday tiara.
Thank you for the tiara.
All right, when we're going to play.
She thanked you for the tiara. She's queen for the day.
Queen for a day.
Queen for a day.
You've been on the tour on the Jewy book circuit, talking to lots of old Jews about your book. How's that going?
It's going all right. It's been about 2 weeks. So
where have you been?
Just like a little bit in. Central Jersey, Philly, Westchester.
Where in Westchester?
I spoke at the Katona Public Library.
Katona, another mm-hmm. Indian chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chief Katona.
Uh-huh. She's going to call Liga today.
Yeah.
We could add that to our repertoire.
I did something in the city. I'm going to California next week, Florida.
Where?
In the city.
Where in California?
Oh, San Diego.
We have listeners around the world.
Sure, I'll be in San Diego.
Where in San Diego? You got to tell them.
At the La Jolla Athenaeum, and then I'll be at the Medium Festival of Photography, which is at the Lafayette Hotel, and then I'll be in LA at Chevalier's
Hotel.
Books. Great city. I lived there for about 8 years.
And where is it in Florida?
Boynton Beach, JCC, and the Jewish Museum in Miami.
You been there?
No, I have not. Not yet. I'm not so fortunate. The Jews have not embraced me the way they have, Marissa. Apparently, I scare them.
I think you
not
scare
just them.
Them.
Not just them, Mike.
We met at a Jewish kind of author network, and my head just like whipped around when Mike got up there and did his presentation. But not as many people loved it there.
You saw it because they looked at me and they saw themselves.
They were scared.
It scared the living shit out of them. So a Jewish boy says to his father, "Dad, I want to borrow $50. Father says, $40. What do you can do with $5? So how have the crowds have been? Like, I understand you've been working to an older crowd.
They're definitely dominated by, like, the Borscht Belter and the person that had been to the Catskills, but
been there in the 70s though, which would that we consider that the height of it, or
even
the 60s?
Earlier? Yeah, the yeah. I'm getting people that have, you know, gone up there in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Saw Martin and Lewis,
and then younger people whose maybe grandparents went up there. But then I'm also really interested in pulling in the photography audience because I am a photographer, and this is about the Borscht Belt, but it's really about photography.
And that's true. This book does ride that line between both being a nostalgic book about the Borscht Belt, and it's kind of sad because we're looking at ruins, we're looking at ice rinks and swimming pools that, you know, have been taken over by paintballers and skateboarders, not to mention, you know, migrant wildlife.
I was very good friends with the late Tanya Grossinger, who was like the poor niece of the Grossinger family, and whenever I mention the name Eddie Fisher, she had always filled it with disgust. She had met him several times at Grossinger's.
He was a staple there.
He was a staple along with the other staples, and at the end, he was the one who pushed the plunger when Grossinger's was blown up.
Yeah.
So, Eddie Fisher going down in history.
Dave's on the ball with the explosion. That's good.
That's amazing. Thank you, David. Thank you.
That he blew it up. So this Jewish boy.
He blew up Grossinger's.
Jewish boy gets a part in the school play. And he goes home and he says, Mom, I got a great part in the play. She says, well, what part did you get? She says, well, I play the husband. She says, well, you go back and tell them you want a speaking part.
So we were up in the country. It's true that we missed the show last weekend because we did have that. We had to have Mr. Root, the tree surgeon, come. He was looking at this dying tree. He gave the tree 6 weeks to live. We couldn't pay the bill. He gave it another 6 weeks.
Guy goes to a doctor. He says, you got 2 weeks to live. He says, I want a second opinion. The doctor says, okay, you're ugly. So we're talking about these, the photographs are beautiful, and this stands up great
Thank you.
An art book of photography. It is, you know, it's an amazing, I mean, just that everything went to ruin so quickly, you know, and you can sort of see ghosts. It's sort of like the Jewish version of The Shining. But at the same point, though, I want to say we're celebrating nostalgia for a time that was. I love the front of the book where there's some matchbook covers and some people by the pools, you know, not seeing the coming apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, laying out the heyday photographs was part of the point for people to have a context of what it was, especially for those who have no idea what. Can I curse on this show?
Please.
What the fuck it was about. Oops. But ultimately, it's a present day view. It's not a nostalgic, typical Borscht Belt kitschy narrative. It's really infused with a contemporary narrative
that is
kind of rough.
Yeah. It's not a book about. I want to talk about nostalgia for a second because I consider nostalgia some sort of like national pathology. And at the same time, I indict it. I also want to give a shout out today is the 40th anniversary. There's a reunion of my elementary school class, and it's the weirdest thing because I don't know these people. I mean, these people I knew when I was seven. I know a couple of these people because we learned how to smoke pot or drop acid together, and we did become friends and stay friends. But the large majority of these people, I don't know. It's a list of names. I love names too. So you have, you know, all these names with these like weird ethnic backgrounds. You're trying to remember who was that kid, or was that the girl that smelled like oatmeal? And I remember that guy's father had like a bad scar, you know. And you know, they're just kids.
Did you attend this thing, or
No, it's happening as we speak.
Where?
I did want to give
in Metuchen?
Clara Barton Elementary School. It's on Amboya Avenue, and I did want to shout out. Like I said, I went to my friend Janet Mary, who lived up, nice girl, lived up the street, is very sweet, is putting this on, and Tom Tamori, and my friends Eric Winicky and Ken Block, and a few of these guys that I know that are there. But I want someone to explain to me why this passion for nostalgia, especially for a time that it wasn't that good. Why are you being nostalgic for something that sucked in the first place?
I think it's about loss. And when you realize, like, what's not around anymore, whether it's people or places, there's, like, a longing and a pathos to that.
Nostalgia is a natural defense mechanism to deal with what is to come.
Oh, boy. And we are in the...
I'm afraid you only go one way.
We are living in an era of lunacy, so maybe it's starting to make more sense.
So, you know,
so what are we talking about? We're talking about making America great again? I mean, what are we talking about?
We've already done it, Mike, with this show. We're making America great right now, this little, what do you call this thing, a cabin?
I got a tweet from Donald Trump. He says, cancel this unfunny, boring show.
And what happened?
He says,
what's the punchline?
Sarumba's attack on me is unwarranted. It's rigged. It's rigged, he says. Heritage Radio is rigged.
Actually, it is. This is a delicious. You know what? I'm glad Pogo's back behind the bar making these delicious.
The old fashioned's the old fashioned.
And, I said, thank you. Thank you. It's an old fashioned.
Although, I remember it was at Grossinger's, though. I was totally picking up everybody's drinks. I was like 14. I was getting like bombed just picking up the cocktails that they left around. Jews don't finish their cocktails. They're not drinkers.
Now, the whole thing with the Borscht Belt, if I may say so, not being growing up Jewish myself, I went to the Catskills, but there was the Jewish Alps, there was the Irish Alps, you know, there was the other.
German,
others,
Italian.
People went up there.
Yeah.
But the whole culture of course, the Borscht Belt permeated the entire United States with the age of television.
Without a doubt.
Right. Let's start with Milton Berle.
Everybody.
Yeah. Started.
Everyone. You know, I was watching Myron Cohn on Ed Sullivan and whatnot. Sid Caesar, everybody. And so without knowing what the Borscht Belt was, everyone in the country and around the world experienced the culture without knowing it.
And has it been influenced, whether they realize it or not, especially by comedy?
Look at Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Look at him.
Mm-hmm. So how many Jewish
people at home are spared this.
I've got a good face for radio. You know how many Jewish grandmothers it takes to change a light bulb?
How many?
It's okay. I'll just sit here in the dark. Hey, happy birthday, Merle. How's it going over there? All right, we're talking about, you want to try a song? Since it's supposed to be a variety show.
It is a variety show. A variety of bad jokes. And
a variety of old people.
No. Oh, talking about
old people. And our engaging
speaking
guests,
of old people, Merle and I did go see Van Morrison last weekend at Forest Hills. That was the first time I was back at Forest Hills Stadium since I worked at the Who concert in 1971 there. I never went back. Two of my coworkers were stabbed that night. One died.
Oh.
That was definitely the end of the Age of Aquarius. We didn't want to...
You're responsible for that.
I was responsible for that. But anyhow, Van the Man was great, and I'm happy to... I was surprised to hear that he's going to be knighted. And
they're giving those things away.
Sir
like
Ivan, they're giving them
wax
away.
Teeth
when are you getting knighted?
Yeah, I'm getting knighted. They knighted Rod Stewart last week. I heard Paul Weller's knighted. I mean, they're just
Paul Weller?
Yeah, I know.
For what?
These are like
the cut of his suit?
These are like participation trophies they give, they're giving away.
They've really depreciated
the knighting.
They've totally depreciated these knighthoods. Van was wonderful. He was relevant. He was vital and mystical and the whole thing. And I'm very glad. Right? Listen.
He was fantastic.
He did a lot of blues numbers, like he did with them, you know, Don't Start Crying Now, Parchments Form, and did him great. Like, great. Not like hokey or anything. He did great.
Well,
talking about hokey.
Speaking of which.
We got a song by Billy Jordan, don't you? Not so fast. Yes, good. Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there mumbling and talking trash. If you want to have a ball, you got to spend. And let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. I can play your slide. Whilst I drink my Solray. The original Solray time. Here's a double verse. Hey, I'll tell everybody, Mike and Peter in town. We got $5 and we're not fooling around. But don't let nobody play us cheap. We got 50 cents more than we're gonna keep. And let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. Don't care if you're young or old. Let the good times roll.
Well, how about that?
Nice.
All All right, a little later we're going to attempt that Rolling Stones single again that we kind of made a hash out of last week.
You're kidding? That was beautiful.
Here we are talking about Van Morrison and the Rolling Stones and
the Borscht Belt's
new book, The Borscht Belt, which everyone should get.
Marilla Palmer's birthday.
Wherever better books are sold, and to go see Marissa out on the Trail of Tears, such as it is.
The people at the awkward date table were flipping out over the book and the can of Dr. Brown's Sol Ray tonic.
I love Sol Ray, but I'm trying to tie the Stones of Van Morrison to Bob Dylan, since we're talking about some nostalgia and Jews, and I'm thrilled that he won the Nobel Prize. You know, I've heard a lot of kvetching, a lot of, you know, well, he doesn't write books, you know, whatever, he's a songwriter. I think this is the greatest thing. I think rising tide lifts all ships, and Bob Dylan's a victory. And, you know, you remember what Alfred Nobel was famous for?
Alfred Newman Award.
We're definitely in the running for that. Nobel invented dynamite.
So
I think it's good that Bob Dylan got an award named for a guy that
which Eddie
dynamite.
Fisher used to blow up Grossinger. So everything ties
everything
in.
At the nexus of everything.
There we go. That's the sound that Grossinger is going.
Incredible.
Gone.
So what are some of the stories that you've heard, Marissa, when you've been out touring about people looking back fondly at these hotels? What do they miss the most?
I think people miss just like the consistency of like getting together, the community, you know, and the past and like the good fun times that they had. It was like their youth, their prime.
So, yeah. I mean, who was the typical Grossingers? I mean, my experience was like my awful family, you know, and it was just terrible. Were people having fun? Were people getting laid? I mean,
For sure. Yeah.
Eddie Fisher.
by multiple women up there. Scandalous.
Jews are very loyal, you know. Jewish men are very loyal. I've been dating the same girl 47 years. I hope my wife doesn't find out. That's all.
That's a good one.
No, I mean, I've heard stories of people like sneaking in under the fence to see a show. And you know, it's kind of ironic because that's what I've been doing for the past 5 or 6 years is just sneaking under fences.
Well, that's so at what personal risk were these photographs taken? Because to look at this book and you're looking at some places that time forgot.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I'm definitely trekking through like unstable, like very dilapidated spaces. I wouldn't advise people to go. Many people do. You're likely going to get arrested, fall through the floor, glass.
What was the most haunting of the sites that you visited?
For me, it was going back to Kutcher's and seeing the pool table that was still there that I learned how to play pool on with my grandpa. That kind of rocked me. And
Kutcher's is still kind of intact enough to have
no,
the pool
Kutcher's
table.
Was there at the time when I went, they were demolishing it. Their plans are to put an Ayurvedic hotel in. And they've since demolished pretty much everything except for one of the main structures.
Did you see any ghosts?
No, I didn't see them, but I do believe in energy, and I definitely felt a presence of something great.
Myron Cohn.
Maybe Myron Cohn.
Yeah. I picture like a Jewish version of The Shining.
In a way, it kind of was. It's definitely spooky.
I mean, I'm looking at these photographs, and again, they really are exquisite, the muted colors.
Hold them up, Mike.
Well, it's all done on film.
Do the George Thorogood.
It's all medium format camera. I'm shooting with a Pentax, natural light. It's very much straight photography.
We should go up there, you and me, Pete,
and look for ghosts.
Start a bungalow colony.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, manage a bungalow colony.
It's happening again, too.
There's no better word in the English language than bungalow.
Bungalow colony. Is the better phrase.
It's the best. We should go there. Are these human bones?
I was going to say.
You know what? I'm not sure what they are, but there was a lot of odd things
that I found there.
These
grand ballrooms, these big spaces. God, I had my 3 days at Grossinger's were just like the fucking worst.
The closest I got was in the early 70s. I was a counselor at the Wellmet camps.
Oh, you know who else was a counselor there?
Who else?
Stern.
Oh.
Howard Stern.
You know, I probably was with him up there.
A successful radio host.
as opposed to. Well, a lot of people were counselors.
Yeah,
a lot of people worked there.
I mean, Larry King was a busboy. And Wilt Chamberlain was a bellhop.
Wilt Chamberlain's Jewish.
Okay, so anyway, one night we did sneak off. Every night we used to go out and get plastered in Barryville. Barryville on the Delaware River.
Yeah.
Dollar a pitcher, Matt Beer from Utica, every night. But one night we all drove over and because we were invited by some people working at Neville, at the Neville.
and snuck into the Neveli and got stoned with the staff, like the bus boys of Neveli, and we're not caught. So
not cool. I got stoned at Grossinger's. My brothers dimed me out to my dad and his
oh, really?
Wife.
Oh, boy. Oh,
yeah, which did not make it any more fun for me.
It sounds
know?
Like you had an absolutely miserable time.
Oh, my God.
Read the book.
Are you having trauma Wait. By looking at the
food?
Book?
The food was terrible.
That was the food.
And the portions, so small. Such small portions. You know, my wife went to the beauty parlor. She was there for 3 hours. That was just for the estimate. Then they gave her a mud pack, and for a while she looked good. For 2 days she looked good. Then the mud pack fell off. Yeah. She wanted to get a facelift, but it was too expensive, $300. But I found a guy for $15, lowered her body. Do people tell you jokes when you're out on the road to this?
I've had, like, everything.
Are these funny
From,
Jews?
Like, jokes to kvetchy Jews, to Jews pouring their heart out with stories, to people on the verge of tears. It's just, like, the gamut. Because I think that the project touches on, like, all those heartstrings, like, that are light and dark.
Yeah, nostalgia. It's dangerous territory to mine.
It is.
Obviously, the availability of cheap jet travel killed this whole thing.
Yeah,
right?
The boom on, of I mean, the airline right. industry, the you growth go, of suburbia. Right. I mean, you well, can go on and on and no. on.
Like the way the Telegraph you know? Killed the Pony Express.
Exactly.
You remember that.
Yeah, I think it was just like a multitude of ingredients all happening at the same time. It wasn't right. just
people,
one thing. It's not black and white.
People could go wherever they wanted. They didn't have to be limited to driving an hour and a half to Mount DeSello.
Yeah, and Jews had largely assimilated. The reason why the Borscht Belt even started was because Jews were banned from hotels in
they
this
were
country.
Restricted hotels.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they also clung together. I mean, it was...
They stick together.
I mean, yeah. You hang with your
peeps. Clannish.
Clannish.
A little clannish there, Mikey.
Well, they're obviously conspiring to take over the international banking system and Hollywood and the
exactly.
media.
Exactly.
That's where it all happened. Where are you going to be next, Marissa? Where can we find you?
I am going to be all over. Got some events.
Next year in Jerusalem, of course.
Next year in Jerusalem, maybe. I'm going to be at the Museum of Eldridge Street, the 92nd Street Y, out west, Florida. BorschtBeltBook.com is the website.
BorschtBeltBook.com. You can dig that. Can I have a page on BorschtBelt.com for where I collect the worst jokes of all time?
There's a portal for you to share your memories, so if you want to share some of your trauma.
Boy, oh boy, did it suck. But thank God Eddie Fisher blew the whole place up.
He did.
Well, not all of it, because a lot of it is in my book.
What's left of it?
That's what's left of it.
But he blew up the beautiful, like, Tudor thing that was on. I was never there, but I saw it on the wrapper of the Grossinger's Real Jewish Rye. And had the little picture of Elaine Gross. Which
I think
was?
It was Jenny G.
Jenny G. Yeah. And she had the little string of pearls. Mm-hmm. And it was a little like cameo of her head. And then there was like the beautiful pseudo-Tudor main lodge of Grossinger's.
Yeah, he blew up the showroom. Because I
he,
never
he
found
pressed
that.
Pressed the plunger. Mm-hmm. And he was happy to do it. Eddie Fisher breaks down the famous Warhol painting at the front page of the New York Daily Mirror. Mikey?
Yeah, Petey.
Mikey, here's... Katsurumba. Talking about menus, here's my menu for my flight, my Cathay Pacific flight to Hong Kong. So you can... you're into Chinese food, right? There you go.
Jews love Chinese food. There's got to be a joke about why Jews love Chinese food so much.
Well, I don't know about that, but I did go to the first German-Chinese restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. Food was great, but half an hour later, I was hungry for power.
That's a good one.
That's good. All right. As ever, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today, and thank God for that.
This was lovely, actually. The book looks great.
Thank
it got,
you.
It really excited the couple here at the awkward date table on
They've
the other side.
They've been into it, yeah.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. and the celery.
We've seen it all happen at this table.
You know, I tried to get them to sponsor my book tour, but they said no. So
Dr. Brown's wouldn't
kinda
do it.
I kind of don't want to sip any, but I do like the black cherry.
Black cherry is delicious.
I do love the celery. It's an acquired taste. It took a while.
It was my grandmother, great grandmother's favorite.
It's you know, it's one of those flavors that's like that old people like, which mm-hmm. I guess is what it took for me. It's a weird.
They weren't Jewish, but this is my grandparents' idea of soda.
You're pretty close to being Jewish.
Yeah.
You know, your Eastern European roots shine through. Do the Stones ever play the Catskills?
Did this have the Stones? Did you discover that?
I never did discover that. I know Led Zeppelin played before they even were like a name.
Oh, where?
I think it was the Raleigh, and they were like a fill-in band because someone told me they didn't want to go see them because they wanted to go see like the whatever.
They wanted to see who would have been horrible then. Vanilla Fudge.
Exactly.
Right, that hideous.
Oddly, you could probably go see them at B.B. King's this week.
Ah,
speaking
yes.
of nostalgia, so last week was the old Cella Coachella show out in the desert. Bob Dylan played with the Rolling
Desert
Stones
Trip.
And Paul McCartney.
Two weekends.
Meanwhile, Chuck Berry turned 90 this week with zero fanfare, the first poet of rock and roll.
There was nothing about it, really.
Well, I was celebrating, but I celebrate that every day because I believe, Pete and Marilla.
What do you believe?
And Marissa, that in rock and roll there is hope. I believe rock and roll is a message of hope and testify. You know, there is salvation in the big beat on the jukebox. I think Chuck Berry is the most optimistic songwriter of them all, and I celebrate that every day.
Mazel tov.
I do, seriously. That being said, I was thrilled when Bob Dylan won the award.
You know what? I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of the Nobel Committee. I don't know. I mean, why not? Why not give Bob
I'll tell you
Dylan
what,
Nobel Prize?
Why not? I mean, his
no. In all seriousness, and no, no, I'm saying like all these guys, Irvine Welsh, weenie, whining, kvetching. It's like, and these people who say, "Oh, gee, it's too hard to read a book," you know, or what's the guy done? You know, he's a pop singer. I mean, hardly. The guy has established over 50 years a lasting body of written work, which is the very definition of literature. Not only that, he ties into his writing traditions of narrative poetry and epic poetry. He's worked as an absurdist and a Dadaist. He's worked as a protest poet. He's written some of the most incredible love songs of all time. Throughout his work are references to pop culture. His biblical reference is, you know, run incredibly deep. I mean, the guy is more well-read and literate than, you know, pretty much anyone I know who walked out of an MFA program at some fucking creative, you know, writing school. He has been doing it, and he's
Bob,
still
I hope you're
on
listening.
The road doing it. He's the last greatest living example of a troubadour. He's playing in, like, Paducah, Kentucky this week. He's going to Arlington. He's playing at, like, a civic center in Iowa. He doesn't need these gigs. He does it because he's a believer, and it's about the living language. And by the way, that's a very Jewish tradition.
It is.
And he's refusing to age gracefully, which on my birthday, I'll drink to that one.
Happy birthday.
Oh, you look great today. Happy birthday, Marilla.
Beautiful.
Lovely as always.
I know
lovelier.
You only turned 29 once. I hope you have a great day.
Let's lift our old fashions right, to that. So. Give him a Nobel Prize. Mike, you're next.
All right.
Now, I don't have the lyrics to this one, so you got to sing it.
I have no idea.
Then just play it.
Well,
I'll play the harmonica. What key you got?
I mean, they've been stealing our
they're stealing our act.
Stealing our act. All right, we're going to go out with this. Thanks to everybody.
What key you got?
Next week, we're coming back with the Rob Kennedy assassination, by the way.
Now, wait a second.
So, seriously, what key do I got? You have one more joke for us before we get out of here? I wrote this this morning. I just
it's an A, right?
Every joke I
this
knew.
This song's an A,
I'm
right?
Afraid that's it.
This is from the Rolling Stones' new. It's a Blue and Lonesome.
Their new old record. All right, we'll see you guys next week on Arts and Seizures. Thanks to Marissa Scheinfeld for coming by. Happy birthday, Marilla. Pete Zaremba. Thanks to Dave in the booth. Next week we're coming back. The Robert Kennedy assassination.
Sorry, I ain't treated no more. Treated no more, Dr. Brown. Sorry, from now I'm drinking straight vodka from today, but I'm gonna mix it with this. Sorry, watch. Mike. Take him up Route 17. Roscoe. Monticello. All the way to White Lake, where they actually held Woodstock.
With your host, Mike Edison.
thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.